Hey, good morning. Isn't it great to be in God's house today? No better place to be than in the whole wide world than right here. Okay, lost you there for a moment. I want to ask my wife, Rochelle, if she would stand up and give a wave. Rochelle and I have traveled with our family teaching on the Holy Spirit for the last 27 years now. Kind of crazy. We were just 2 years old when we got started. And we have three sons. Matter of fact, would you put the picture of our family up real quick? This is our crew. On the end is our daughter-in-law, Olivia, and our oldest son, Braden, and they pastor, assistant pastors at an Assemblies of God church outside of Cleveland, Ohio. And then our youngest son in the back in the middle there is Barrett. He's a senior in high school. And then on the end is our middle son, Dolan, and he is starting his senior semester at SAGU, which is Assemblies of God ministry school and university outside of Dallas. So that's kind of our crew, and we've before we even had kids, we started traveling. We traveled in a Volkswagen van. Anyway, so I hope you'll keep us in prayer. Every week out of the year, we're in a different city, somewhere in the United States or overseas, teaching on the Holy Spirit. And that kind of goes back to when I was 14 years old, I felt the Lord call me to teach about the Holy Spirit. But growing up outside of Philadelphia in a great church like this, First Assembly of God, Harrisburg, PA, growing up in a church, I thought teaching was Sunday school or Bible college, so I didn't really know how it was all going to shake down, but how many know God has it all figured out for each one of our lives? But over the years, God has sent us to every state and every province of Canada and about 60-some nations, I guess. It's crazy now. But I hope you'll keep us in prayer. About 75% of our ministry is in the United States in any given year, and about 25% overseas. Our first trip overseas will be the week or so around Easter. We'll be in a place called Reunion Island. So if you go to the southern tip of Africa, go to Madagascar, and then you go east about 1,000 miles in the Indian Ocean, there's Reunion Island and its sister island, Mauritius. And we'll be there for the whole week. We end on Easter Sunday at the big soccer stadium downtown St. Denis. And so I hope you'll keep us in prayer. And then our next ministry trip will be in East Africa, Zanzibar, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia. And then our final trip in Africa will be Central to West Africa, will be Chad, Niger, Mali, and Burkina Faso. And then we end the year in Peru. But I really want to ask that you pray for us this next week, because we're going to be in a dark place. Openly practice witchcraft, sewage running in the streets, a place called Chickasha, and we really hope you'll pray for us this next week. But if you would grab one of our prayer cards, we'd appreciate that so much. I want to show you something real quick that just might stick in your heart to pray for us. When we're overseas, typically we're in one of two contexts. We're typically either in high persecution areas, or else we're in areas where people have never heard the name Jesus before. And this is one of the second areas, places where people have never heard the name Jesus before. If you've probably the closest geographical locator to what you're going to see, it would be the Serengeti. But it's about 8.5 hours after the road stops among a people group called the Datog. And we were there drilling water wells and doing church plants. And I had the privilege of dedicating this big water project. It was going to service about 20,000 people in the region. Massive, not like a hand pump, big solar and sanitation and stuff. First ever there. And as I was getting ready to dedicate this project, there were about 400 leaders of the Datog tribe there that were going to be serviced by this project and in a church plant coming in. And I asked them the question, how many of you have ever heard the name Jesus before? And no one out of the whole group had ever heard his name. But check out what happened when we had the privilege of sharing with them who Jesus is. And the only way to find peace with God, peace inside, is to ask God to forgive us. If you would like peace inside, like we've been talking about, and you'd like me to pray with you to receive this peace inside, wave your hand at me. We will pray together.
Amen.
And as we pray, we are going to humble ourselves before the God who made heaven and earth. People are so hungry to experience the love and grace of God. We were just back at this place called Yaida Cheney. We were just back at this place this last year, and there's a thriving church there. God is doing great things, and I hope they'll keep us in prayer. Will you pray for us? And then, Pastor, are you going to sneak back on up here? I'm going to invite Pastor to come up and shake you down for a second time. I doubt you guys hardly ever do that, but we appreciate so much your kindness today.
Thanks, Tim. We'll take five offerings if we need to. We're not shy about that. Here's the commitment I always make to you, though, is this. I will never pressure you to give, but I'll never apologize for offering the opportunity. How many of you think you're a pretty good and a fairly quick judge of character? Let me see your hand if you're pretty good. How many of you already like the in-laws, even though you may have just met them for the first time? I think you're a pretty good judge of character if you raised your hand right there. For 27 years, these guys have been doing what they do, and here's the way that the role of the evangelist works in the Assemblies of God. There's not an underwriting foundation somewhere that says, now you're covered and just go out and do what you do. That'd be awesome if there was, but God has a plan where we all get to participate in the process, that through our giving, we help them go to Reunion Island, and we help them go even to the godforsaken city of Chickasha next week. That through our giving, they are enabled to do what God has called them to do. Paul refers to it this way. He calls us partners in the ministry. I want you to give the very best offering you can today. All of this offering will go in its entirety to help the in-laws and the work they do in their ministry, to provide for them so they can obey the call of God on their life. Give the best offering you can. If you need a text to give, it'll be on the screen right here. You can text that number. The keyword is in-law. You can do the same thing on online giving if you want to do that later sometime. If you want to do a check, make it out to OFA, Owosso First Assembly, and all of this offering right now, it's when we're doing a second offering, all of this offering will go to be a blessing to them and to their ministry. Before Tim comes back up, would you just join me right now? How many of you, he asked us to pray for him, and how many of you will say, I'm going to pray for him as God brings it to my heart, to my mind. I'm going to pray for the in-laws and what God has for them to do. Let me see your hand real high, way up. We believe in participation in this church, so way up high, everybody that's going to do it. Okay, how about let's get a kickstart on that right now. Join me in prayer for their ministry. God, I thank you for the in-laws and for the blessing that is upon their life, for the provision that you bring to them, and for the anointing that is upon their life, that as they proclaim the word of God across our nation and around the world, that people encounter grace, people encounter the power of God. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now to give this offering as an expression of our gratitude for them being with us today, but even more so as an investment in their ministry. Lord, I pray you'll help us today to do the best that we can. And I pray that as the word is proclaimed here in just a moment, that our ears would be opened to hear and our hearts open to receive what your Spirit would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Pastor. And thank you so much for praying for us and for your giving. We so deeply appreciate it. We're looking forward to being with you over these next couple days together. And I'm believing God tonight at 6, is it 6 or 6:30? 6 o'clock. So it's 6 tonight and then 7 Monday and Tuesday. You say, man, can I get all of that of Jesus that I need in an hour on Sunday morning? And the answer is, of course not, right? And so we're going to be back. It's a kind of an unusual thing. How many think it's a little unusual to have church a couple days in a row these days, right? But do me a favor. Look at your neighbor. Just give them a quick up and down. How many believe, based on the criteria of being unusual, that they are qualified to be here, right? So tonight we'll do part two of the teaching from this morning, and in the night services, we're going to crown every opportunity, as we will this morning, but we'll have a little more time tonight and Monday night and Tuesday night to really seek the Lord and pray. And if it's been a long time since you've encountered the Holy Spirit's presence and power in your life, don't miss tonight. Tonight, we're actually going to, in part two, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit's power, receiving what the Bible calls the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And for those of you that have already received that gift from God, how many to wave a hand and say it's made a significant difference in your walk with God? And so God tonight wants to come and help us to experience Him in that way. If you're brand new to that subject or you don't know what it is, many will testify that aside from being saved, it's the most dramatic God encounter that you can have in your life. And I believe God wants to do that. If you come from a different faith tradition within Christianity that maybe didn't teach so much about the Holy Spirit, or if you've had questions or you wonder, oh, is that when they dim the lights and they do the funky chicken lion dance and break out the snakes. That's not what it is. Matter of fact, pastor's going to do that next Sunday, I think. Is that right? Yeah. No, but a lot of people have questions because they kind of think, well, this is when things kind of get off the rails and go weird. It's not that way at all. The Holy Spirit doesn't empower us to be weird. He empowers us to be effective. And so we're going to learn about that tonight. And if you've already received that gift, God tonight has a fresh downloaded update for you. He wants to update the anointing of the Spirit on your life and help us in those ways. And then Monday and Tuesday nights, we're going to be teaching kind of a part one and part two on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but not so much what they are. We'll talk about that a little bit, but really how to be used in them and how to open up to them. A lot of people just simply think because they haven't been used in a particular gift, it's probably not for them. But the Bible actually teaches us different. God wants to use all of us, but it's up to us to learn how to perceive the promptings of the Holy Spirit and learn to know what He would do in our lives. And we're going to really encounter that in a wonderful way. On Tuesday night, the prayer time at the end of the service will be specifically devoted to receiving a healing touch from the Lord. How many of you are sitting by a real sicko today, right now? So make sure you bring them with it. And so we're going to be experiencing God's grace and God's presence. I challenge you, make it a priority. Even if you have to sneak in, you know, late because of work and your hospital scrubs with your chicken McNuggets or whatever, we don't care. We just want you here. Just come and experience God's presence. If you're interested out in the beautiful new lobby, as our ministry table where you can grab our prayer card, and there's also some other materials there. Our newest book, I hope every family can grab one of these, is called Goodbye Chicken, Hello Dove. And it's all about receiving the Holy Spirit's power in our lives that helps us to overcome our fears and our limitations. And it's really be a great help in your life. It's in three segments. The first segment is about the identity of the Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised how many people don't really know who He is, so therefore they don't trust Him the way Jesus commanded us to trust Him. And then the middle third tracks the trends in the Bible, Old Testament and New, about how people received from the Holy Spirit, received His power. And that's important so that we know that we're on the right pathway when we're pressing in to receive from Him. And then the final third is super practical. What do you do with the Holy Spirit's power? How do you know what God is leading you to do? How do you know if you've had those impressions before? How do I know if that's me or that's God? And that's kind of what that book is about. So anyway, take advantage of that. There are other materials back there that will be a blessing, I know, in your life. Well, let's stand together this morning in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we are going to look this morning at two portions of Scripture. We're going to look a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and then a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, just a couple of verses out of each. Would you read out loud together with me, big and bold? And as we read this, I want you to kind of pay attention. Paul is kind of saying, on the one hand, you have this, but on the other hand, you have this. So I want you to kind of feel the dualism that he's trying to present here and how they interrelate. You ready to read out loud with me? Okay, I promise you'll be the best thing you hear all day long. Let's read together. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that it would find a deep resting place in our hearts, and it would change the way we think and change the way we act. Help us, Lord, because of time in your word, time in your house this week, that we would be more like Jesus and less like ourselves. We thank you for that, Lord. And Jesus is always following your pattern of ministry, always combining teaching about the kingdom with healing the sick. We welcome your healing anointing to fall upon this house even right now. Lord, I pray that during the time of the teaching of the word and the time of prayer in just a few moments, that many would leave today totally healed in their bodies, totally healed in their minds, totally restored in our brokenness. We welcome your goodness to come. In fact, I pray, God, right now that anyone that has pain in their bodies would begin to experience your healing grace just settling in upon them right now. Thank you, God, for marking this Holy Spirit Encounter Week with dramatic, life-changing healings. Thank you for it, Lord. We promise to give you the glory. Amen. Amen. You can be seated if you like, or you can remain standing and be a public spectacle. Can we go back to the first scripture slide, please? So Paul starts out here in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels. Now, where this particular verse is situated is in the bigger chunk, chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, where Paul is really talking about supernatural giftings from the Holy Spirit. How many know chapter 13 we call the love chapter? Paul didn't write, he wasn't in the middle of teaching about spiritual gifts and all of a sudden go, oh, I probably should write something real quick that they can read at weddings. This is not that type of love. This is the agape, or we say kind of in a sloppy way, agape. This is the agape, the selfless love, the love of Christ, the love that we're supposed to demonstrate to the world. And so in the middle of this, he's trying to build contrast between these two sides. In chapter 12, he's talking about empowering giftings from the Spirit. Chapter 13, he goes, okay, so you got all the power. You can speak all the languages of earth and of angels. Prophetic giftings, praying in tongues, public tongues. But if you had those things, on the one hand, you had the power, but you didn't love others, that selfless love, the character transformation that God wants to do in our lives, then what happens? I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Empty noise is really what's going on there. Matter of fact, the Greek word for that empty noise, noisy gong, the probably the clearest you could translate that from the Greek that the scripture was written in into English would probably be country music. And then the next one, please. He says, he goes on that same premise. Hit me with the next slide, if you would, please. If I had the gift of prophecy. So when we'll look in these next couple days, Monday night and Tuesday night, at the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, and you kind of, by function, break them up into three categories typically. One would be prophetic gifting, saying what God wants you to say. And that's the first. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I could say what God wants me to say, and if I understood God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, revelation gifts, if I knew what God wanted me to know, and if I had such faith I could move mountains, demonstration gifts, doing what God wants me to do in an empowered way. If I operated in all of the gifts, on one hand, if I had all the gifts, I wasn't just, you know, like if you think about superheroes, you know, it seems like they all are kind of super strong and maybe super smart, but they all have specialty giftings, you know, like, you know, I can't think of any of them, Aquaman or whatever, you know, he swims fast or something, his special gift. If I had all the gifts, but I didn't love others, it would cancel out. I would be nothing. And probably all of us have been disappointed or disillusioned by a Christian that seemed and maybe legitimately operated in power on some level, but they didn't have the character to back it up. There's this dualism there, and Paul gives us the answer to it in the next verse, please, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. He says, okay, so go after character. That's the primary transformation a Christian needs, but don't neglect. Go also after special abilities, the gifts the Spirit gives, especially to prophesy, because that's always the main thing that God anoints, not specifically the gift of prophecy where someone stands up in a church and goes, for verily, verily, the Lord would say unto thee, my children, or whatever the soap opera you start with. It's not just that specific gift, but simply the main thing God anoints in the Bible from the Old Testament all the way through the end of Revelation is God empowering us as humans. How many of you are humans? You know, there's two types of people. There are humans, and then there are Patriots fans. And so, but God anoints humans to speak what he wants us to speak, to proclaim his kingdom. And this is the most common activity, empowering activity of the Spirit. How even Paul said, how can they hear unless someone tells them, you know? And so this is the main, the highest function and the most common function of the anointing. So on one hand, you've got the character. On the other hand, you have the power. Well, these are the two basic dimensions of the Spirit's work in our lives. And we want to look at that just for a few moments as to kind of give each one of us a filing cabinet to put the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You have probably heard a lot of messages on the Holy Spirit. You've probably read lots of books about the Holy Spirit. You've certainly read the Bible with its voluminous references and understanding and welcoming the Holy Spirit's work. But I want to give you a filing cabinet today in just a few moments that will help us understand and kind of put his work into place so that we have it not only accessible, but so we kind of realize the main two themes of the Spirit's work in our lives so we can experience those in a greater way. Now, hit me with the next slide, if you would, real quick. So check this out. We have the inward ministry of the Holy Spirit and the outward ministry. Now, when we say inward and outward, I didn't select those words because they're sort of alliterative, nor did I pick them because they demonstrate your navel's posture or something like that. But these are actually the types of terminologies that the Bible uses to describe them. Some of them happen in our inner being, and some of them happen in our outer being. For example, if I drank a glass of water, it'd be inside. If I dumped it on my head, it'd be outside. That same sort of positional terminology is used to describe this. So look at the next one for a moment. Let's look more in depth at the inward. If you look at the very bottom, you'll see the word purity. The primary purpose of the inward work of the Holy Spirit is purity. And there's two basic levels there. You can see salvation and fruit of the Spirit. Let's talk about salvation for a moment. Salvation, that first level of the inward ministry of the Spirit, is all about getting us into the family of God. Just to be clear, salvation, or being born again, it would be a synonym. This is the most important experience, encounter with God, a human being can have. How many would agree with that, right? So the salvation is not kind of a thing of degrees where, you know, Pastor Kelly is saved, but Pastor Bruce is really saved. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no degrees. There's no, well, we have silver level Christians, and then we have, you know, gold level and platinum level Christians. You know, it's not like that at all. Salvation is a status. We are either saved or lost. And that's how that works. It's not a revolving door. When a Christian sins, you don't have to come back to church and come and get re-saved and fill out a card and go through the beginner's class again. It's not that way. Now, Christians do sin, unfortunately, right? But when we sin, we don't lose our status with God, right? We repent, and he works in us in that way. So salvation, Romans 8 talks about the Holy Spirit's role specifically in salvation. And Paul lays out something really powerfully that it mentions in a couple other books as well in the New Testament. The moment you and I are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. We kind of talk about Jesus being in our heart. Anybody have Jesus in your heart? Anybody have him in your spleen? Your thorax? You have him in there? All right, so that's kind of metaphor. He doesn't really live in the, you know, which atria, which ventricle, you know. It's not like that. In fact, most biblically, we could say the Holy Spirit, from the moment of our salvation, comes to live within our entire being. In fact, kind of the contrast Paul's trying to make here is, hey, the Holy Spirit used to live over the wings of the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy of Holies, but now that's you. Now that's you. That's obsolete. Curtain torn in two, temple torn down, obsolete. Doesn't have any true spiritual meaning anymore because now that symbol is now a reality. He lives inside of us. Paul would then say in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19 that our bodies, our carcass, our soma is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans 8, if the Holy Spirit does not live in you, you do not belong to God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, probably the best metaphor for this is donuts. Anybody like donuts? All the keto people are going, I don't like this guy, right? The moment you and I are saved, God injects the chocolate cream filling of the Holy Spirit inside of your donut. He lives inside of you. And he doesn't kind of come and go. He lives inside of you unless you would choose, if you choose to turn your back and reject Christ, please don't do so. But if you would, then he would leave. But he lives inside of you. And if you've ever eaten a filled donut, and if as long as the pastry chef was not messy, you don't know from the outside what kind of filling is inside the donut that is specifically designed to benefit the inside of the donut. There's no marker on the outside necessarily. And so when you and I are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. That purification work takes place. And he certainly helps and leads and guides, but his main work in us is purification. Then if you look at the next level, please, you see fruit of the Spirit. That is one of the many metaphors for the after salvation growth and progress of purity in our lives. If you're a theological egghead, the term is really, the biblical term is sanctification, not sanctimonious, not like that. But it talks about the progress and work of the Spirit purifying us from the moment we're born again, hopefully until we stop blowing bubbles, right? Of growing to be less like us and more like Jesus. And there in Galatians chapter 5, the scripture we have there, the Apostle Paul talks about the contrast between someone living for themselves. So you have some homework this afternoon, all right? It's not very long. It'll take you 3 minutes. You can have the Bible app read it to you in the car on the way home. But Paul kind of juxtaposes the two sides. If you live for yourself, this is what it's going to look like. And he rattles off 9 fruits of selfishness. Now, when you think about it, a lot of people like to blame the devil for their troubles. And I'm not his advocate by any means. But how many of you know that the devil only has as much place and influence in your life as you and I yield to him to have? We have to partner with him. We have to cooperate with him. Temptation doesn't have to be a two-way thing. We can simply say no and shut it down with God's help. But Paul is trying to set up in chapter 5, verse 16 through 21, if you live for yourself, here's how your life is going to look. It's going to be filled with all these fruits of selfishness. If you want your life to stink, if you want to be the person that no one wants to be around, nobody shows up at the funeral, not even the gravedigger. You know, you want to be that person, then live for yourself, and you're going to trim off all the fruitfulness of life and all the fulfillment of life. I'm not a very morbid person, but a couple years ago, I was doing some missions work in another third world dark place called Springfield, Missouri, and the hotel I was staying at, they shoved the newspapers under the door, and their Springfield newspaper, they're the Springfield Newsleader. When I just happened to open it up, and my eyes fell on the obituaries. I normally don't read the obituaries because it kind of sounds morbid. But I think it was Dwayne Jones who said, I read the obituaries every day to make sure I'm not in them, right? But I found this obituary, and I snapped a screenshot of it. Let me read it to you. I'm going to delete the last name, and you'll see why. Kathleen, last name, was born on March 19, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude, last name. She married Dennis, last name, at St. Anne's in 1957 and had 2 children, Gina and Jay. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle, and moved to California. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph, last name. She passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her. Are you catching some of the pain in 5 sentences there? And I don't mean to set this Kathleen lady up as the Antichrist or Mystery Babylon or runner-up for whatever, but you can see the pain that happens when we make decisions that are selfish-based, and it's like throwing a rock in a pond. You just see the ripples continuing to affect. But God has not called each one of us to just barely get saved and get in the kingdom and go into heaven, and I go to church once or twice a month, you know, and that's it, and live with the same old problems and live with the same addictions and live with the same character flaws. God's called all of us to grow in him. And so Paul then says the other side of this. You can live for yourself, Galatians 5, 16 through 21, and it will look like this. But if you live with the Holy Spirit's work, and so to the Spirit, your life will be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and chocolate and self-control. And all of those things help us to become more like the Lord. Each one of those, even the love that's there, is that same agape love, that selfless love that runs against human ways. Like, how many of you parents have kids, for example? Astonishing numbers of them do these days. But from the smallest age, you see that selfish nature, me, mine, right? Adults have kind of a way of kind of hiding it, but it's still there. No wonder Paul said in Romans 8, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you live. So we need his help. Now, how do you access that? We seek the Lord, we grow, we pray, and we're going to be doing that. But I want to know that we all have a long way to go even after we're saved, don't we? Turn to your neighbor, tell him, you still have a long way to go, right? We have the chocolate inside of our donut, but there's more for us. Now, look at the next one if we can, if we can go to the next slide. So then we talk about the outward ministry of the Spirit. This is going to be our focus tonight and these next two nights, about really being empowered by him and understanding that the power is not merely an experience. Actually, the experience may be one of the smaller components of being empowered. It's really what we do with it and learning his ways and learning his leading and learning how to perceive those things. But we have kind of, if you look at the very bottom, this one is about power. Not just power as in I want power to lord over others or that kind of a thing. That would be a selfish thing. But we have on the one hand the purifying work of the Spirit, on the other side the power work of the Spirit in our lives. And as Paul said, these are to be pursued hand in hand. Maybe a smidge more going after the purity. But a lot of people go, well, you know, those crazy Pentecostal, charismatic, you know, continuous Christians, all they talk about is the power. And, you know, it's their, you know, the Sith Lord electricity shooting out of the pastor's fingertips and zapping people in the back row, and they're levitating and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, those, we're not like that. We just want to be, and we're going to go after the character. And there are an entire segment of Christianity that says we don't believe that the power of the Holy Spirit even operates today. We're just people of character. And they're proud to tell you that. And then on the other hand, you have continuous people that believe the power of the Holy Spirit continues today, Pentecostal, charismatic, whatever label you want to say, which is kind of where Owosso first finds ourselves. And a lot of times we're tempted to look at other Christians that don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and go, oh man, they're, you know, they're legalism, full of legalism, and they're dry, and they're, you know, and proud and all these things. And we end up not pursuing the character of the Spirit. And so we end up kind of sometimes blowing up ourselves. And we end up going from one experience to another. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've had an experience with the Holy Spirit. Remember that old Fanny Crosby song, You've Lost That Love and Feeling. You kind of experience that, you know. And so how many know that God doesn't want us to be on either extreme? He wants to be somewhere in the big, safe middle, personally pursuing the character transformation of the Holy Spirit, but also welcoming the power of the Holy Spirit so we can be effective. And the reason why we need the power of the Holy Spirit is because God has called all of us into the full-time ministry. Did you know that? Did you know that everyone in this room is supposed to be a minister? Even if you don't have a free internet ordination. He's called all of us. Do me a favor, lean over to your neighbor and say, good morning, Reverend, right? A lot of people can't get this in their mind because they only view ministry as being one of many vocational choices. Like, it was easy for Pastor Bruce to know that he was going to be a minister because his first name was Pastor, right? Pastor Bruce McCarr. It was easy that way. But a lot of people go, well, you know, I'm not a minister. I'm a teacher. I'm not a minister. I take care of yards and lawns. I'm not a minister. I'm a nurse. I'm a homemaker, whatever the thing might be. And we kind of often find our role in our vocation. Ministry can indeed be a vocational calling. Paul talks about that in his Ephesians letter, chapter 4. But the reason why God called vocational ministry leaders was to equip all of the rest of us, the saints, the believers, for the work of the ministry. And a lot of times when you boil it down, when people think that ministry is a vocation, when you boil it down, that kind of means basically you're in the ministry if you're getting a paycheck from the church. And you're not in the ministry if you're not getting a paycheck from a church. How many feel how gross that sounds when you actually say it out loud? And it's not that way at all. Thank God for leaders. The Bible says they're worthy of honor and of being taken care of and all. And we totally get that. But God's called all of us to do the work of the ministry. And sometimes we kind of lose sight of that in light of our vocation. Now, God's not making you pull an extra 40 hours of doing pastoral ministry on top of your already full-time job. But he has strategically placed each one of us in different places in the community and circle of friends and geographical areas so that all of this area can be under the coverage of someone that knows the Lord, like a cell phone coverage map. This whole county is covered by people who can reach out and represent and shine and the grace and love of Jesus. But the problem is we don't know what we're doing when it comes to ministry, right? We don't know what to do. We don't feel that we have the wisdom, the power, the resources, the time. We're afraid we're going to make mistakes. So God empowers us by his Holy Spirit to get the job done. How many of you have ever felt like God wanted you to do something that was too big or too difficult for you to do? That's the way it's supposed to feel, because he doesn't call us to do things specifically only within our skill set. He calls us outside of ourselves. In fact, you'll find the greatest potential anointing of power available in our lives always lies outside of our comfort zone. If you would have asked me years ago that, you know, I'd be ministering in all these high persecution Muslim contexts, we even preached next door to the Al-Qaeda training camp in Lombok, Indonesia. You know, I mean, just God would call us to all these places, or that I'd be living in a tent in the middle of the bush somewhere in some, you know, country, speaking to people that have never heard the name Jesus before, eating kinds of all kinds of funky bugs and all kinds of stuff. You know, I would have laughed at you. But it's so amazing how God stirs your heart and calls you. He awakens the adventure of his image inside of you. And all you have to do is acknowledge, God, I can't do that. And then what's the next step after you say, I can't do what you want me to do? God, please help me. And when we begin to call on him and welcome him, come and empower me, come and give me the ability, come and give me the wisdom that I don't have, then God graciously comes and he takes our donut that already has the chocolate of the Holy Spirit inside, and he takes that donut and he dunks it, he baptizes it in the hot chocolate glaze of the Holy Spirit on the outside. Chocolate inside for personal benefit. Chocolate outside. Well, have you ever noticed in a box of assorted donuts, the ones with the chocolate glaze on the outside just seem to naturally rub off and stick on all the other donuts around them? That's exactly what this is for. He wants your encounter with God, your transformation you're experiencing, to not be limited to just benefiting you. He wants you and I to be empowered, coated, enrobed, clothed in the Holy Spirit's power so that we can rub off and share the light and love of Jesus with other people. No wonder he said, you're going to receive power, supernatural ability, after the Holy Spirit has come outwardly upon you, after you've been baptized, dunked in the Spirit. And then you're going to be able to do my ministry. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, even Chickasha or Chickenshay, whatever it's called, you know? And he's called us all outside of our comfort zone. And I don't know about you, but it's pretty easy to get kind of robotically stuck in the same patterns. Like, did you realize it's 2022 already? You guys have missed years already. You've just been so stuck in the rut, you know? I went actually and wrote, getting ready to write a check, which I haven't done for a long time, the other day. And I wrote 2000, I was starting to write the 1-9 on it. I was like, oh, you know. But it's so easy for you and I to kind of get stuck in the same rote patterns. But God's called us to be more than just cogs in someone else's machine. He's called us to be part of his family and practicing fruitful members of his kingdom and of his family. And what he's looking for you and I to do is to recognize, I would like to experience more fulfillment and more activity in the kingdom of God, but I don't know what to do. I don't have the resources. And that should drive us on our face before the Lord. Say, Jesus, come empower me with your Spirit. That was a good spot to say amen or whatever you say. I'll drink to that. What do you say here in Owosso? I don't know. Well, I want to end with a few moments of prayer here in just a moment. But I never fully understood this, because I was raised in a church like this, and I'm old, I'm almost 50, but I was raised in the 70s were my childhood, and the 80s were my teenage years, and kind of a little different generation. Like, I look out and see all these awesome students here, and listen, I know sometimes people give you guys trouble, you know, the younger millennials and the Gen Zers, and they don't understand. This generation is the most primed and portable generation to go and do something great for the kingdom of God of any generation that I've yet witnessed, for real. And I don't just say that just to pat you on the back, but like, for example, I was on an airplane here a little while ago. Actually, this story happened last year. And as I was getting on the airplane, in front of me was an older gentleman. I would say codger, but I don't want to be offensive. But that's what I'm feeling. And so he had a big fanny pack on. And I'm pretty sure it was full of, like, vitamins, like ginkgo biloba and lutein and Ex-Lax and other stuff like that. And then he had over his shoulder, he had a big, huge, like a carrying bag, like a gym bag, but it was way overstuffed, way too big to carry on an airplane. And then behind him, he was towing a rollerboard suitcase that was way overstuffed. And it was heavy, I know, because I helped him cram it in the barely fitting into the luggage compartment above. And not giving it to the seniors, because seniors are awesome. Love seniors as well. Kind of the untapped resource of the church and prayer and spiritual leadership and wisdom and stuff like that. But I helped this dude put this thing up there, and it was heavy. And then behind me was a guy, he was maybe 16 or 17 years old, and this was my second flight, my destination flight, and I noticed he was behind me, and all he had his phone, he had a pair of flip-flops and shorts and t-shirt and a hat backwards, and that's it, and his phone, and AirPods in his ears, and that was it. And I marveled when he got off the plane. I went down to get my luggage because that was the final stop. And as I went to get off the airplane, I noticed he didn't even stop by to get baggage. He just walked right out the front door, got in his car or whatever, the car that was picking him up, and left. And I kind of marveled the difference of the two worldviews, one that needed a lot of stuff and one that was pretty streamlined. You know, this generation, you guys, if you could pick probably the own furnishings in your room and stuff, you probably wouldn't pick like big fancy wood-carved couches and doilies on the armrest and curio cabinets full of figurines and all that stuff, you know? How many of you guys could make it like a week with just your backpack and what's inside of it, you know? Okay, two of you are not helping me out, all right? But we often think that, you know, we often think that what I can do in life is based on what I have or what I don't have, but it's not that way. The resources that of the Spirit for our life are not something we have to carry. They're not something visible. They're not filing cabinets full of knowledge. It's not stuff we have to pack with us. You know, even if God would call any of us today, maybe God would lay his hand on you today in this prayer time and say, hey, I want you, I'm calling you to be a missionary. I'm calling you to sell everything and go and reach the unreached people of Tatooine or something like that. God would lay that on your heart. If God would put that something like that in your heart, most people say, well, I the logistics, you know. But the Holy Spirit has given us an entire set of invisible logistics and equipment that's available for us. He's given us the power to do whatever needs to be done. Several years ago, at the end of a church service like this, in the kids' room, they had given every kid a little pack of Uno cards. And so at the end of the service, there are little circles of kids playing Uno everywhere. And so, being the mature adult I am, right over is on this side of the sanctuary after people had kind of dispersed, there was a ring of maybe 7, 8, 9-year-old boys playing Uno. So being the mature adult, I thought I'd go down and shark them and take them to school. So I said, hey, deal me in. And they're probably like, who is this creep or whatever? But they dealt me in. The guy on my right, anybody play Uno before? Okay, I just want to make sure it's not a sin. It probably used to be a sin. But they dealt me in. The guy to the right of me was the first guy to play. And so he throws down a card. And you know he hits me with first? A draw four, little knucklehead, you know? And so I'm like, okay, 1, 2, 3. So now, next time around, he hits a draw four on me again. Punk, right? Third time around, not a draw four, but I've got now double the cards that I was dealt. And I didn't, out of all those cards, I was trying to hide them, but I didn't have any yellow. But I'm pretty sure he had peaked because this time he threw a wild card on it and called yellow. And they were playing the devil's rules, the ones where you have to keep on picking up until you finally get it, you know? Fourth time around, draw four again. Next time around, it was something else punitive, I remember. It was more like, and it was over, Uno, when it was over, it was more like a drive-by shooting than a fair game, you know? But the bottom line is, a wild card can make all the difference because it becomes whatever it's needed to be in that moment. And when you and I are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we receive the limitless possibilities to do whatever God wants us to do in life. We got to change that inner narrative that says, I can do these things because I have skill. That's true in the natural, but when God dunks you in the Holy Spirit and empowers you, all of a sudden it doesn't matter if you have the skill or not. God gives you the power. He gives you the wild card to do whatever needs to be done in those circumstances. How many want more power from the Holy Spirit in your life? More wisdom, more grace? I'm going to ask you in a moment if you would stand with me to your feet, but we're not going to dismiss, so don't try to sneak out, all right? If you try to sneak out, everyone will just assume you're demon-possessed. Is that all right? That's a social pressure for us. So with that understanding, would you stand up real quick? We'll let you out in just a moment. But I want us to spend just a few moments in prayer today. Would you bow your heads with me across this room? Father, thank you so much for your goodness and for your help. And I pray, Lord, in just a few moments, that you would help us to experience, understand, welcome more of your power and goodness in our lives. Thank you for it. While heads are still bowed, let me just simply ask you, have you experienced the most important thing that a human being can experience? Have you experienced what the Bible calls salvation or being born again? That's not a document transfer or a ceremony, but it happens through honest prayer, saying, Lord, I know I've failed you, I've sinned, and I cannot fix that no matter how hard I try. I need supernatural help. And you begin to welcome God's power and grace in your life. All over this house, if you say, you know what, I know I'm living far from God, but I'd love to experience His forgiveness and grace. I want you just to wave a hand at me all over this house. We're going to pray. Yeah, awesome. 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 How many of you would say, you know what, I know I belong to Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. But if I look at my life, I see the amount of time I'm spending in the kingdom of God and my pursuit of Him is not what it used to be. And I want to use today as a fresh starting point of recognizing the Holy Spirit living inside of me and the mission of God in my life to really do something for the Lord. How many of you give me a wave at that? Yeah, all over. That's awesome. This morning, I want us to begin this time of prayer. And in a moment, we're going to let you go. If you need to go, we're going to have a soft dismissal. You can sneak out, make sure you pick up your kids. But if you want to spend some time in prayer, if you could even spend 3 or 4 or 5 minutes in prayer this morning, I know it would benefit your spiritual life and mine. And God would help us in our pursuit of encountering more of His presence. But I want us to begin this season of prayer. And you're welcome to come to the front and pray if you like. We're going to begin this season of prayer with just some repentance prayer. And if you waved your hand at me and said, hey, I want to make things right. I want to experience the forgiveness that Jesus can give. I want to make sure that I belong to Him. You can follow my prayer if you like. But for the rest of you that already know Jesus, I want to invite you to pray out loud your own repentance prayer. You're not allowed to follow my words. And we pray out loud because that punches our own pride in the face, right? And so we're going to humble ourselves and pray. So you ready? Let's begin to lift our voice to the Lord. If you waved your hand and said, I want to make things right, you could certainly pray your own prayer. You can follow mine. Let's pray out loud together. Come on. Heavenly Father, I know that I've sinned against you, and I cannot fix that. Would you please forgive me? Would you wash me? Would you cleanse me? Write my name in heaven's book and adopt me into your family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray about that inward ministry of the Spirit right now. God, would you transform us? Would you cleanse us? Come on, just take a minute and lift it before the Lord. God, I welcome for the ways that the enemy tries to come against us. I pray for extra help and strength through the Spirit as we seek you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit of Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you work your purity in our lives, I pray. I pray, God, for any of my friends today that just feel like they're going down for the last time. Their ship is waterlogged and they just temptation is just overwhelming them. I pray, God, for even friends that are dealing with bondage areas of sin, that right now by the power of the Spirit, that the misdeeds of the body would be put to death and strength and life would come, that purity would come, the fruit of the Spirit would grow. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Jesus. I just keep on hearing the Holy Spirit say to me, knees, knees, knees. If you need a healing in your knees, would you just wave a hand wherever you're at? Is it possible to bring the house lights up about halfway? Let me see real quick. I'm sorry. Can we bring the house lights up about halfway, please? Yeah, awesome. Thanks. If you have a problem with your knees, wave a hand real big. Wherever you're standing, keep it waving just for a moment. If you're by someone that's waving a hand, would you just reach over and put a hand on their shoulder? Just wave it for a moment. The beautiful thing about the power of the Holy Spirit is that He wants to flow through all of us. Come on. Would you just lift that friend up to the Lord in prayer right now? If you, no one is praying for you yet, maybe a little shy, just do a little down low and someone right next to you will be able to pray for you. Lord, we just welcome your healing grace right now to flow into bodies. Lord, we welcome the tissue in the knees to be restored. We pray, God, even if extensive damage would be renovated by the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for healing meniscus tears right now and arthritis and all sorts of issues in those ways. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your power flowing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your healing grace flowing. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't want to belabor anything, but if you'd like to spend some time in prayer and kind of cement in your heart what God is doing, or if you have a special need, I know there's many that have urgent needs, you want to spend some time in prayer. If I could ask prayer partners to sneak up here, you guys are officially dismissed. You can sneak out at your own discretion if you want to spend some more time in prayer. But prayer partners are up here. If you want to receive some prayer today from the Lord, God is here to help. He's here to minister. Thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness, Lord.